Let us join together in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your extravagant love, which gives us hope, joy, and courage. We praise you for your love that never lets us off, never lets us down, and never lets us go. We praise you for dealing with our fears, touching our lives, and healing our brokenness. We praise you that in your wisdom and grace, you did not leave us to try to find you in our own strength, or to be in any doubt as to the reality of your loving kindness and mercy. We praise you for always being there when we needed you the most, for being there when we least expect it, for being with us when no one else could be there, and when no one else wanted to be there for us. We praise you that every time we look to Christ, we are reminded that there is nothing he does not know about us, and there is nothing he does not understand about our lives. We praise you that you come to us again and again. You lift us when we're down and hold us when we're hurting. You fill us with your grace and share all the twists and turns of our lives. Mighty God, wonderful Saviour, living Lord, by your Holy Spirit enable us to give you the praise and glory you deserve. And may the song we have begun ring out through all the world and to the end of time, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I'm going to read for us John chapter 12, and it's verses 1 to 8. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Six days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a litre of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair, and the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. But Judas, the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, "What a waste! We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor." In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He had only said this because he was a thief and in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has saved it for the time of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me." So I invite you now to close your eyes and to imagine yourself in that room within the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You too have been invited to a special meal. And notice how the senses of taste, touch, smell, sound, and sight come into the story, making the events very vivid in the moment. And I'd like you to notice how your body reacts at various points in the story. So a celebration meal is taking place because Lazarus died, but Jesus raised him to life. The best food is served. Now imagine some of the flavors of the best Palestinian dishes of the time. Imagine Martha serving. Look at the expression on her face as she enjoys Jesus' appreciation of the flavors that she has crafted. Feel your own mouth water. See Lazarus, attentive and laughing. Hear the disciples chatting. Everyone is having a good time. Notice the sensations in your own body of a good party going well. Now see Mary go to the jar of perfume. She kneels down in front of Jesus. Watch as she takes off his shoes. She anoints his feet and wipes them with her hair. It is quite shocking, but also tender and sensuous. Notice how the room has gone quiet. Everyone is staring in astonishment. Can you smell the perfume? Notice the reactions of your feelings and in your body now. Is it embarrassment? Are you with those recoiling? Are there tears? Do you want to run away? How are you reacting? Now focus your attention on Jesus. What do you see him do? What does Mary do? Do you see Judas standing up? He's complaining about the waste of money. It is harsh. His voice is mocking. How does that make you feel? But look again at Jesus. Notice his calm affirmation of Mary. What is God's word of life to you in this story? How would you like to respond? And is there some action God wants you to take to say thank you? I invite you now, friends, to open your eyes and come back into this time and space together. And I would encourage you to keep a hold of whatever God gave you in that time and perhaps pray or journal on it later in your own time. This passage is so beautifully sensual. It's a sensory overload. We have taste, we have smell, we have touch, and we have sight. That evening in Bethany, Jesus was with his dear friends, the sisters Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus, who only days before had been dead in the grave for 4 long days. And when at long last Jesus arrived, Mary challenged him because she believed in him. She believed that he was the Messiah. She believed in his power, and she believed that he would have healed her brother. In John chapter 11, the previous chapter, verse 32, she says, "Lord, if you had only been there, my brother would not have died." And Jesus felt her pain and he wept. He wept for his dead friend Lazarus. And he orders the stone in front of Lazarus' grave to be rolled away. And he commands Lazarus to stand up and come out from the grave. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And news of that miracle spreads through the whole town and the surrounding areas like wildfire. Everyone knew that Lazarus had died. And now here he was walking around, a living sign of Jesus' power over life and death. A living sign that Jesus is the Messiah. And it stirs up the Jesus frenzy even more. The chief priests and other religious leaders, now they're getting worried. If this enthusiasm for Jesus goes unchecked, the delicate balance between their Jewish religion and the Roman authorities will be destroyed. Their authority will be undermined. Something has to be done. So they plotted. Jesus has to die. And Jesus knows that the time is coming. The time when he will be betrayed. The time when he will have to make the ultimate sacrifice. And we can only imagine the pressure, the turmoil, the fear that was building within Jesus, the man. Now let's picture ourselves again as guests at that dinner party that night. And let's imagine the atmosphere that night in Bethany at the dinner in honour of Jesus. Outside, the air is pungent with tension and impending doom. But inside the house in Bethany, there is joy, there is friendship, there is celebration. The three siblings put on a lavish meal for Jesus. Martha serves as she so wonderfully does. And we can imagine that the house is filled with all these amazing aromas emanating from her cooking pot. And we can imagine Jesus relaxing and enjoying the delicious flavors and textures of the food that Martha has prepared. We can imagine him relaxing and reveling in the company of his friends. A welcome respite for what he knows is ahead of him. And then some point after the meal, Mary does something remarkable. She's acquired a bottle of precious perfume. It's pure nard, imported all the way from India. And it is outrageously expensive. We're told in other translations that it cost 300 denarii, which was a year's wages for most people of the time. How did she get this? Is it something she had? Was she saving it for a special occasion? Or did she spend all her savings in order to purchase it in the market? Had she shared with her brother and sister what she was going to do? Because it's so intuitive, isn't it? It's like she's been given a message direct from God. Does she know that this is Jesus' last week on earth? That he'll soon be arrested and put to death? I think she does, because I think God is working through Mary. Whatever her thinking and motivations, Mary breaks the normal flow of the dinner party. She enters the dining area and kneels at Jesus' feet. And in doing so, we're reminded of a time at a previous dinner party when Martha is doing all the work and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. We are reminded of when she falls weeping at Jesus' feet after Lazarus has died. And we're pushed forward to a few days later when Jesus washes the disciples' feet the night before he dies. Mary proceeds to pour the entire contents of the jar of perfume on Jesus' feet. Then she unbinds her long hair and wipes his feet. What a sight. It's a scene of remarkable intimacy. A woman of that time would not have let down her hair in front of men. And she certainly would not have touched a man, let alone his feet. But in doing so, she is showing us the true way to worship our Lord. She holds nothing back. She gives her full self to Jesus. Mary shows her love for Jesus with a gesture of pure extravagance. She pours the expensive perfume all over Jesus' feet, and the house is filled with its scent. John's words are so evocative, we can practically smell the perfume ourselves as he describes the moment. Mary pours out the perfume and it's all spent. Her great offering is complete. Mary that night in Bethany shows us the way to true discipleship. And we are to give our full selves to our Lord Jesus. Unashamedly and unapologetically, our full selves. No holding back, we give him everything that we have. And we are reminded that discipleship is costly. And we can see by Judas's reaction that yes, there will be those who judge us. But the cost and the judgment are worth it, as there is only one Lord Jesus. And he gave all that he had to save us. He poured himself out on that cross so that our sins are forgiven, washed clean by his blood. And as well as showing us a true example of discipleship, Mary is also offering comfort to Jesus the man. The smell of the perfume and her touch, I'm sure, gave Jesus strength and comfort throughout all he faced in that coming week. Just think about how, as humans, we crave the touch of another. How the touch of another can bring us hope in our darkest despair. Holding hands with our lover, hugging our children, stroking the soft fur of our pets. Touch gives us comfort. And think about how catching hold of a smell can take us back to beautiful memories of the past. Smelling our mother's perfume, the scent of freshly cut grass, the smell of a swimming pool or a sandy beach, all taking back to memories of a past time, giving us hope and comfort, restoring battered souls. I remember sitting at my gran's hospital bedside as she was dying, and she seemed unresponsive, and we held her hand, and we stroked her face and her hair, and we spoke soothing words. Now, my son and my niece, they were too young to come to the hospital, but we put them on the phone, and they sang to their wee gran, and tears ran down her face. Touch and sound gave her and us comfort as she faced her final challenge. That night in Bethany, Mary's extravagant gift gave Jesus the man comfort and strength for the week ahead. For Mary poured that full bottle of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And the scent would have been so strong that I think it would have stayed with him throughout the week ahead. At the Last Supper, he shared with the disciples, knowing he was to be betrayed. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was taken in front of Pilate, when he was whipped, stripped, and mocked, when he carried the cross, when he was nailed to it, and when he hung on it in agony. Each time he caught a scent of that perfume, he would have been comforted. Comforted by the memory of the sound of his friends' chatter, fellowship, and laughter. He will have been strengthened by the memory of the love shining from Mary's face as she knelt at his feet. And he will have been comforted by the memory of the warmth and the tenderness of her touch. Comforted and strengthened, that she would, without embarrassment or shame, give her full self to him. Comfort and strength to sacrifice himself in order to give us God's ultimate gift of love. Let us pray, friends. The fragrance of costly perfume poured out in love filled the home in Bethany, wiped away memories of tears, challenged the coldness of Judas, and anointed Jesus for burial. May the life of Jesus, poured out in love, fill our homes and hearts and heal our wounds, and anoint us for service in his name. Amen.